Are you satisfied with your understanding of sustainability? If you are not, imagine a journey together, a pluralistic one, with academia, innovators, startups, NGOs, all looking for solutions to the greatest challenge of our time. My name is Samuele Tini, and this is the Sustainability Journey.
Welcome to a new episode. Today, we know we are discussing sustainability, and we like to do innovation, and we like to bring forward change makers around the world that are really trying to push the frontier on how we can change and transform our world and our solution. And today we have a change maker that used biology and a material like fungi. So how do you use fungi in sustainability, and which are the applications? So I'm so curious to know it. And so today we have here Suzanne Glorsen, who is the, so many accolades, Suzanne. So you are the Future of Fungi Award founder, you have the Fungi Collective Investment founder, so you are at the forefront of fungi innovation. So thank you so much, Suzanne, for being here with us today.
Exciting to be here.
And Suzanne, I know everybody will say, well, fungi? What is it? We know, we think of maybe a risotto or a pasta, but not sustainability. But before that, we want to know, who is Suzanne? What is your sustainability journey? How you have ended up at the frontier of sustainability?
I guess it started when I was little, as many of us, trying to understand what role we have down here. What are we going to contribute with? I really felt I wanted to contribute to taking our planet to a better place. Then I went into finance, but I didn't really find my role. I'm very values oriented, and I learned a lot, but being a junior stock analyst was not for me. So I thought maybe I'll work in the Red Cross. Anyway, a kite surfing journey in Venezuela, or an accident with kite surfing, led me to a course of CSR when I had to change my curriculum. This was in 2010. And there I found a course on corporate social responsibility. And in that session, there was a session on responsible capitalism. And this was in 2010. And for me, that was a eureka moment where you had capitalism that could be done in a more responsible, sustainable way. So that was kind of my start in 2010, merging value with values. And from there, I'm very much an adventurer and explorer. So I dove into, or we're diving into all the courses I could, traveling the world, using my student budgets on conferences. Yeah, so basically, and seeing where the world was heading, all of these challenges, and not a lot of other people were seeing all the challenges we're facing. But I can also add, Samuel, that yes, we're facing a lot of challenges in the world, systemic challenges. We can refer to the 9 planetary boundaries. But for me, I've always been very positive. I see opportunities and solutions in challenges. And I'm very curious on what are the new solutions and innovations we can use. So we will talk more about fungi, but I'll also just say that now I become very fascinated with how we can use nature and biology for the environmental solutions we need. So there's so much intelligence in nature, right? Biomimicry. How can we look to nature? So that's the new frontier for me, how we can really leverage what is in nature to restore nature and tap into that intelligence. And to end that, I'll say that McKinsey says that up to 60% of input for the global economy can be done with biology. Again, fungi, which we will talk about, has been very under-communicated, a bit under-researched, unappreciated, right? Don't really understand it. So but this is changing. And this own kingdom has massive potential also for environmental solutions, which we will talk about.
No, definitely. And it's something that we have seen in many of our guests in the past. So from the stock, a career, maybe a more traditional career, and then the Eureka moments, and now the sustainability. And really, you have also crafted your way in a kingdom that is seldom known, and I'm sure not many people, also our listeners, they don't know. So you will want to understand the first one, then we will discuss about your award and the collective. So what is the significance of fungi in solving environmental challenges? So can you explain one fungi 101 for us?
And again, many of us, we think about fungi as, you know, something yucky on your, you know, walls or pizza, but there's so much more to fungi. And again, fungi, many people don't know, but we can thank penicillin to fungi. We can thank a lot of our food, so wine and drinks, wine, cheese, what have you, for fungi. But when it comes to environmental solutions, there's so many ways we can use fungi. And there has been this revelation going on the last years. So one thing is we've seen a big wave in alternative protein. That's more, you know, understandable. So vegan burgers, what have you, but also as materials. So you can use it for construction materials and insulation or packaging. So you grow fungi and use it as more bio-based packaging that can also be recyclable and can potentially also nourish the soil and obviously degrade when you put it in the soil. And just to say, for those of you out there who are not familiar with fungi, I say fungi and you might think about the mushroom, but we often talk about the mycelium under soil. So the root system of fungi. And when I talk about, for example, growing materials or alternative protein, it's done in big bioreactors. Where what is beautiful also with fungi is you feed it with waste. You feed it with agricultural waste, food waste, right? So we take waste out of the system and we can grow new things. So, but you know, I mentioned so packaging, but also fungi, there's research on fungi can eat plastics. We can use it, a theme that we will talk more about, micro-remediation. So using fungi to clean up contaminated soil and water. And, you know, that is fungi's role in nature. Fungi is a natural decomposer and cleaner of the natural world. In nature, there's no waste. This is a startup that says so, MycoCycle, which I have invested in. And that's very true. So in nature, we don't have linear systems. It's a circular system. So some of, you know, and I'm just scratching the surface here. What I find very fascinating is we've started to see a lot of applications across sectors for fungi, but it's so early. We're just scratching the surface and we can expect a lot of more new innovations because we've only mapped 4% of fungi. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of fungi we don't really know yet how we can use to the best way. But also the development technology. So something called DNA sequencing that we can easier map the different types of fungi. So I'll tell you about the work because there we also identify some of the new ways we can use fungi. But this is really, it's called one of the last frontiers in biological discovery. So this is, you know, emerging. And just to finish off to say that,
listening in religious silence because, I mean, I confess my total ignorance when you think of fungi. I was thinking about my pizza or my risotto. Now, I mean, you can have this frontier and understanding. So it's something that is really fascinating for me. And, you know, let's go more on the frontier. You have mentioned a bit and the application and the work. And of course, to create that and to foster this ecosystem, you have created two, let's say, vehicles. I mean, the award and the collective. So the future, the investment collective. So can you explain a bit before we go into depth into them? What is the award? What is the collective? Which are the reasons and how also these two vehicles are advancing research and entrepreneurship in this frontier?
Yeah, I jumped out of my last role in a bank in the SCB's Green Tech VC to only focus on fungi because there's such a massive potential here. and to be in service in the ecosystem. So the overall goal, what I'm working for is really accelerating the fungi revolution. Scientific American welcomes us to this fungi revolution. I think it's time to really accelerate up the pace. So in my way, I'm working to create a fungi universe. So there are different elements here. And, you know, it's like a tandem wheel and you need a lot of elements to have research to spin out, innovations to scale. But the award is one of them. And the Futures Fungi Award, it's a global award to honor the really frontier, cutting-edge science and startup innovation using fungi for environmental solutions. Because, again, we're just scratching the surface. There's so many other ways we can use fungi. So the aim of the award is to uncover these new moonshots, honor the scientists, you know. And yeah, that was what I wanted to say earlier. For those who maybe don't know, fungi is its own kingdom. We have flora, fauna, and fungi. I just wanted to say that. It is its own kingdom. So, but fungal researchers, they haven't necessarily got the recognition as, you know, plants or what have you. So honor it, inspire to more research and innovation, nudging commercialization. You know, there's so much research that gets stuck at universities. It doesn't get out as real world solutions. So if we are to save the planet, we need some of this moonshot research to get out in real world solutions. And we want to tell the world about fungi. So the word is a vehicle and to build a network. So for the jury, we had close to 60 people in the jury, research institutions, corporates, investors, the wider innovation ecosystem, so European Innovation Council. The parts of the ecosystem needed to come together to commercialize and accelerate this out in the real world. So that was the award. I'll tell you some about the winners, but, you know, we saw fantastic research. It's so mind-blowing what you can do with fungi.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we will discuss that because I'm also, pending from your words and just to see, wow, that is fascinating, blowing my mind just to understand this. I want to know more. And but also here in the, as we do in the podcast, research, the academia, but also the solutions. And I think the collective is the, let us say, the operative arm. So what is it? What is it, the investment collective?
There are more arms here, but, you know, in order to build big house, you have to start. So the collective is Fungi Investment Collective is a community of, we call it angel investors. So private investors who want to take part investing in fungi-focused startups. And, you know, I know a lot of fungi startups. I have the network. So I have fantastic deal flow of startups to invest in. So with the collective, I invite, or we are a group of investors who join in on investment opportunities together. So it's called the syndicate. So you do one investment, but we come together. It allows you to also invest smaller amounts, right? Often this can be a bit inaccessible for some. So, and among other, one of the investments we've done is in Nomi. It's a Norwegian company using mycelium, so fungi, as a more sustainable alternative for feed for agriculture. You know, the fungi eats waste to grow. So this is very circular. So yeah, so the collective, and again, if there are, you know, private investors out there, big or small, that are interested in investing in fungi startups together with us, reach out to me and I can loop you in. Yeah.
Fantastic. And it's very interesting how to be at the enabler for the frontier and the development of what maybe can herald a revolution. I mean, I knew it more about the packaging, but I know there are so many other solutions that can be there. And I want to understand a bit more. I want to go a bit deeper. Then before going maybe to some examples and discussing, you know, the winners, I want to ask this because especially for our audience and the work, and one of the problems that we have with startups is, of course, and fostering innovation is how to unlock capital, how to bring attention to these frontiers and rather than the mainstream and say, all-time solution, which, of course, sometimes they can be cheaper or they are already enshrined in the system. So which are the challenge opportunities you have faced? I mean, now that you have this loan, that you have syndicated some support, some tickets, maybe to different startups like the Nomi you have mentioned. So how is the ecosystem in this space?
Some of these startups have really proven themselves and are really maturing. Many of them coming from the US, alternative protein material companies. But for many of the others, it's still early. So we still don't have a lot of big companies reaching, you know, maturity and doing, for those familiar with startup language, a lot of, you know, Series D and E rounds. So it's still not that the jury is still out, but it's still early in terms of really scaling up to big production. So that is, for many startups, that's still too in the working. And in that process, you know, biology is biology. It's a living things. So which can represent challenges. So that is still uncertain or a challenge for some companies. So we're still early in kind of that phase for a lot of startups. So that's one challenge, big challenge, I would say, or something that we are still in the earlier phases of. And the opportunity, of course, is that far as I see, I find it so fascinating. I mean, when you work with disability your whole life and then you have this one thing, or we know it's not one thing because fungi, there's so many species of fungi, but the variety. So, right, it sounds very niche, but there's so many applications. So you can invest as an investor. Also, you need to diversify, you know, your investments, and you can go broad in terms of sectors. So that's what's two considerations. And what is needed in the ecosystem? So, and what I'm also working towards, what to contribute with, I would say there's a need to bring all sides of the ecosystem more together. So science can be often siloed, right? They keep their own conferences, not interacting that much with, you know, investors or, you know, it can be startups or, of course, they do work with corporates, but they could do that more. So fostering more the connections like fungi do. And, you know, investors need to learn the language of scientists and vice versa. So that's one thing. And we need more capital. So, you know, when scientists wants to commercialize, of course, you can have grants, but we need risk capital that can go in early. Quite some VCs don't want to go in that early. I'm talking a lot about scientists here, but that's also where I have a passion for. You know, the startup ecosystem is kind of set up on its own. They will also need a lot of varying expertise and resources around companies. So that was some considerations. But my passion and interest is helping foster or helping really frontier solutions come up in daylight, them, honor them, inspire to more of that, help with capital, you get that going. And I'm a notcher or catalyst. I want to, if that
you make them flourish. You make them flourish in a way. No, it's really important. And I think it's an important step what you are doing, because of course in the frontier there are a lot of risks, a lot of uncertainty. You know, of course, having people that understand and work can help and support the development. And now I want to ask a bit, because we have discussed the scientists, we have discussed the companies. So could you share a bit more about some of the winners that maybe they touched you, the award, and maybe also maybe if you can share, I mean, you have already shared about the Nomi, maybe one or two names, if possible, on the other side for us to understand a bit more.
Absolutely. And it was so cool because, you know, this was the first, just to give a bit of context, first award of its kind, first time. We haven't done it before. We were a small team bootstrapping. But, you know, like the mycelial network grows, this award spreads across, you know, mycology organizations around the world. So we actually got 260 applications from 70 countries, which is very cool because fungus global, fungus everywhere. The best scientists or innovators can be, you know, it doesn't have to be in Europe. So being a global and inclusive award. But to the winners, so it was so cool. We saw so many frontier solutions, and it really gave this bird-eye perspective of what's cooking in the fungal ecosystem. Our research winner makes biobatteries to store energy. using fungi, which is such a cool example of the mind-blowing potential of fungi, right? So when you say that, people are like, wow, can you really? So that's cool. He has prototype and a proof of concept from Aalborg University, Jens Lauritz Sørensen. Super cool. And he uses something called kinones from fungi to replace, you know, metals that are often rare metals or unsustainably mined. And he thinks he can commercialize this within 5 years. So that is, it's just a fantastic example. And again, this is important. We want to help the winners and the top threes to really get access to finance, either to the network, visibility, help them. But it's also about all the others applying. And this is also to inspire the people out there or scientists out there to also do more frontier moonshots research from the space. When they hear that, yeah, we can make batteries. So that was the research winner. I can start the startup winners, and then I can also talk about the other topping the list. The two startup winners, we actually had two because they were so close. Belgium startup, Novobiome, and a Swedish startup called MycoMind. They are a fantastic example of fungi's capabilities. So they use fungi to clean up contaminated soil and water. Novobiome, they clean contaminated soil. No, MycoMind, they clean contaminated water for hydrocarbons, and they look to do PFAS and rare earth elements. You know all about this, Emil, because you're very advanced in sustainability. But as we know, climate change is not only the challenge we have. Loss of nature and biodiversity is such a challenge. World Economic Forum says that the top four risks in the next decade is loss of nature and biodiversity. We have to restore the natural world. And then, you know, fungi comes in, this beautiful thing, and we can leverage the natural capabilities of fungi, which has evolved over billions of years to clean up our natural, regenerate our natural world. So that was the two startups. The number two runner-up, now I can also say Novobiome also works on having fungi. Fungi eats textile waste, so clothes, and then that turns into biomass, and that can be used as bioactive compounds, for example, for cosmetics or other. So they're in L'Oreal's accelerator. So that's circular. You take textile waste, fungi eats it, and from that you get more bio-based compounds instead of, you know, chemicals or what have you, to use in cosmetics, more bio-based. L'Oreal wants to be 100% bio-based by 2030. Some of the others as well, which might be interesting from people out there.
Definitely. No. I am waiting because I really like what you said, especially also in the podcast we have discussed. We have discussed with other people, they're trying to use, I recall, let's say a couple of months ago, we had an episode about using hemp to clean forever chemicals and fast and other. So it's really something using biology as an ally. And what you already said, like restoration should be the aim rather than just, you know, I found sometime a strong obsession about, okay, carbon obsession. We need to look it more holistically in how we can regenerate exactly our entire ecosystem. So it's really important. Now back to you and to the wonderful people that won the award, because I'm sure the other solution will be mind-blowing, like the one you just mentioned.
Yeah, and just to say, I mean, fungi can help us regenerate Earth. And, you know, there's so much about fungi and, you know, my fascination for fungi is very broad, because fungi is also the kind of connector. It's regenerating life, right? It's taking care of dead material. And then, you know, out of that grows something new. So, but some of the others, top two startup is from Denmark, female founder. She has a solution I've never seen before. She replaces bitumen in asphalt production. So bitumen is from fossil or petroleum with fungi. She replaces bitumen with fungi in asphalt production. Vistabilt from Denmark. And then two of the scientists, again, there's so much frontier things happening in science. Will from Imperial College of London, he does, and listen carefully now, people, electromicrobial CO2 fixation. He uses by the use of electricity from renewable sources. CO2 is turned into this liquid acid that then this yeast is also fungi, consumes CO2, this liquid acid. So it consumes the CO2 basically, eats it up or consumes it. And from that, you know, fungi grows or then biomass grows, and that can be used again as feed for animals or materials or what have you. So that's also very novel, fantastic research. Lastly, from University of California, they focus on turning textile waste into mycelial composite materials, materials basically. So that was some of the fantastic examples. But there's so much more. Self-healing materials and fungi as computers and sensors.
Wow, I mean, mind-blowing and really something that, I mean, I'm really interested about the bitumen one. I mean, we need roads, especially in these emerging markets. And one of the exorbitant cost of building roads, repairing and what. So, you know, maybe biology and nature solution can also help on that side. So it's really interesting. I mean, the last one, it's really, wow. I mean, the CO2 and the water, so it's really interesting. And my subsequent question, as a practical person like me, you know, my thing now is the MBA coming. I said, okay, very nice. We know the research is wonderful. The award is good. But I mean, Suzanne, you are also have the practical side. So are those solutions scalable? Are those solutions in the next, do you see those solutions coming in next year becoming practical for being implemented? And if so, which are the opportunity for investor entrepreneurs there? I mean, is it something that we can really see coming out sometimes from the ivory tower of the university? I really like that. And because I move with universities, a lot of research there and coming to the ground, hitting the ground and giving solution to us that we are really desperate for it.
Some of this is, again, still early phases. Some of this sounds like mind-blowing. And then we have to see how it turns out. For example, self-healing materials, right? Where not only can you use fungi or mycelium as leather, so replacing, you know, cow leather, like Adidas has made shoes from mycelium leather, but self-healing materials is actually that you can activate the fungi leather and it becomes alive again, it can repair itself. Anyway, so I mean, we don't know how that will turn out yet. And, you know, will mass production and everybody wearing self-healing shoes, like that's to be seen. But this is just the beginning. When you think about the potential of, I'm just envisioning that you have this house where, you know, the insulation is a fungi, your table is a, you eat, you know, a total protein, you can wear it. Let's see how it pans out. But just to mention one of the areas I have strongly conviction in, still early space, which is why we're also very interested, but there's so much potential, micro-remediation. So as I mentioned, so micro-remediation is a part of bioremediation. Remediation is cleaning up. So cleaning up contaminated soil and water, for example, where we traditionally we've used chemicals to you know, take care of earth and restore it, which is just insane, or burning the land. So given the need to restore the natural world and not restoring it with chemicals, that is an area I really believe in, using fungi to that area. It's still early, you know, we have most likely less than 10 startups at hand right now, or that was maybe a little, but not too many companies working on it. So that's an area I believe in. And when it comes to the rest, I mean, and this is where I come. I'm an adventurer. I am risk taker. I am into the frontier solutions. And you know, when it's frontier, you don't always know, right? You don't always know how the future will pan out. You have to dare to be bold and take the risk and foster in helping that solution innovations to see if it's right, if it's possible to, if it can reach a mass scale and can be used.
And I can say we know we need more people like you in sustainability, willing to take the risk and really foster. I want to ask a subsequent question. How do you see this space? Now you are there, and of course, you are in an uncharted territory. Some of the things are really, wow, mind-blowing, but maybe it's early stage, maybe experimental stage, some early prototype. How do you see this space evolving in the next 5 to 10 years? I mean, bearing in mind our main objective, 2050, net zero, full circularity, all these pledges that we hear from company and above. Do you see that coming, and which maybe, how do you see the fungi in that space?
You know, just also from seeing the development of the last years, this accelerating. Again, Scientific American welcoming us to the fungi revolution. This is accelerating in terms of number of fungi startups coming, coming alive. And again, it's part of this wider way where we understand and realize that we can turn to biology. We can turn to nature for some of the many of the solutions we need. We don't, like petroleum-based, we've been so petroleum-dependent for everything. And it is this revolution of turning to, nature, biology, what we already have, and learning, relearning how to use that. So that we will see much more of. And, you know, often when we talked about the bioeconomy, this is kind of the new phase of the bioeconomy. So this is just coming more and more. When you look at regulations, you know, you have to cut pesticides use in the EU with so much. I think it was 50% by 2030. So more bio-based solutions. And fungi can also be used in agriculture, for sure. Improving soil, reducing fertilizers, pesticides. So this is, fungi is accelerating, and it's part of this bigger wave, right? And some years down the line, I think we will be thinking, why did we go for like petroleum? Why do we need this detour to nature again? Reconnecting a bit more with nature, how we can use it. So, and again, the innovation and the capacity for using our brains and the capacity for creativity and innovation and how we can leverage biology. It's super fascinating.
Fantastic. And I really see, just talking maybe 5 to 10 years ago, this discussion would not even be possible. So you can see now that in the transformation of sustainability and the push is pushing also us to reconsider traditional extractive model to go more to a regenerative way. And then you say using biology and how mimicking life will help a lot to prosper in a more sustainable planet. And I want to ask the last question. Can you share some advice for our listener that they are interested in sustainability? Maybe not like going into the frontier like you, but you are, of course, discussing with innovators in a very interesting space. So you can give us some advice. Now we can become a bit of like you, change makers like you.
What I've done, at least, I've always followed my passions. I mean, you have passion for some things more than others. So, I mean, if you're interested in stability, maybe you're a bit new, or, you know, dive into the themes that speak to you. Be curious. And of course, I have to give some references to fungi for those who want.
Definitely, of course.
Just feel free to. I'm happy to elaborate on giving some advice, but again, as I said, the themes that, you know, pull your attention more, dive into that and, you know, be curious and read. And also, I think this is important. So many people are a bit siloed. They think in silos. You mentioned this, Samuel. But this increasingly, humans need to have the capacity to think more holistically in systems. Sustainability challenges are, you know, intrinsically intangible, complex interactions where, you know, one thing impacts the other. Climate change impacts biodiversity loss and vice versa. And so many other of the nine planetary boundaries. So that's also something I would encourage everybody in sustainability to apply more system thinking and approach. How is this affecting all the other areas? And again, I have, when you want to create, you know, greater goods, my thinking is to create something that has other positive ripple effects across, you know, other of the nine planetary boundaries. So that's one, you know, so when I Now there's so many VC funds. First of all, they say climate change. That's the challenge. I'm like, oh no, there's so many more. It is changing. A lot more focus on nature and biodiversity, but still there's so many people who are not able to think in systems. They think very much in cells. So that's what to think about. I can recommend the 9 planetary boundaries from Stockholm Resilience Center. Yeah, and then some fungi references. And you can always reach out to me. But I can highly and warmly encourage two things that also help me on my journey and just bolster my fascination. Fantastic Fungi. It's a documentary on Netflix, giving you a sneak peek into this wondrous, wonderful world and the potential of fungi. So Fantastic Fungi, Netflix. And the other is a book, Intangible Life, by Merlin Shelbrake, which is also an institution of a book in this space. So for people interested in fungi, check it out. Yeah.
Fantastic. And I mean, we can even reach out and discuss with the people that want to invest and discuss, because it's really something interesting. Maybe we'll put also some references and links to the book and documentary just to learn. And thank you so much, because I also personally learned a lot and seen the potential of this mind-blowing and really, I think, often overlooked solutions that they are not the fanciest at the forefront and maybe, but they are what are the base, and they've been there for billions of years with us. So they are here with us and working, and they have created also the planet where we are. So I think we need to mimic more nature rather than going against her. So, Susanna, it was a wonderful pleasure having you. Thank you so much for this, I mean, insightful episode. I would say, I mean, I cannot find adjective to describe it.
Thank you, Samuel. And again, for everybody out there, please reach out. And yeah, if there's people interested in investing, co-investing in this fantastic space, yeah, reach out.
Fantastic. Are you satisfied with this wonderful episode? Let's continue together our sustainability journey.